It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
There's a price to pay to win a championship. How we practice is how we're going to play. It's time. It's time all these distractions in, and we start getting to work and start doing it the right way.
Nobody's left. Give the ball up and over. Brian Smith, baseline, 8-footer, in and out, no good. Oh, my goodness, they put it down by Porter. Oh, my goodness. Hello, Abbeville, Alabama, a one-handed slam.
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac to the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac.
Reached in down, he knocked it away. Ball loose on the deck. Throws it back out. Harper gets it. Harper down the floor. Harper shovels it to Brown for three. Yeah!
I tell you, you ain't going to run get any popcorn if we keep this up.
I knew we could be competitive in men's basketball at Auburn. I didn't think the championships were necessarily in the cards. Auburn's a special place. I had a special team.
Bryce eyes the bucket, spins it up. In and out, no. Rebound, Washington saved it. But Brown is there for three and a quarter. Yeah,
All right.
Auburn leads.
Get back, play some defense now.
We've come a long way. And just grateful for the opportunity. Understand that if it wasn't for Auburn bringing me to be their basketball coach, I never would have had the opportunity to realize, obviously, one of my goals as a college coach is to get to the Final Four.
That does it. History has been made. The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Wiltu, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now at 343-0106. Now, live from the Voodoo Wing Company on Old Shell Road, across from USA, here's your host, Doug Holton.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome in to Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. As always, we're here at the Voodoo Wing Company and hope you'll come out and join us tonight on Old Shell Road here in Mobile and enjoy some of the great wings and a cold beverage here and all the great sporting events on the big screen. Lots of flavors to choose from, whether it's the wings or the beverages. So come on out and join us tonight for some great conversation. A big show on tap for you tonight. What a game last night in Auburn Arena. I hope a lot of you were there to see that, to see the energy, to see the excitement in Auburn Arena last night as the Tigers took down Georgia. But even if you were just watching on television, you couldn't help but notice as Auburn continued their great play this year, topping the Georgia Bulldogs at home. And what a game for Walker Kessler, practically everybody on the roster. But Wendell Green, tremendous night passing the ball, great teamwork, great defense. It was a great night for Auburn basketball. Saying all that, there's a bigger one ahead on Saturday, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Tonight on the show, we're going to talk to Auburn coach Sonny Smith about the game coming up this weekend on Saturday against Kentucky. We're going to talk to former Auburn All-American Ruthie Bolton about the game Saturday and the game coming up Sunday, the women's game at Auburn, where they will honor her coach, Joe Champy. And we'll also talk some football with former Auburn quarterback Jason Campbell, now member of the Auburn Network. As spring practice nears, we'll talk about the quarterback situation with Jason and much more. But first things first, the big event on hand, maybe the biggest game ever on campus at Auburn as far as basketball is concerned. Auburn and Kentucky this Saturday at noon on CBS. Make your plans to be home watching this one, or if you're not heading to the game, that is. But for the first time ever, two top 12 teams going against each other, Auburn and Kentucky. It'll have a lot to do with the SEC championship, the regular season, and perhaps much more down the line. But earlier today, Coach Pearl talked about the significance of this ball game.
Well, I mean, it's probably the biggest home game we've had since I've been coaching. And we've played Kentucky here 3 or 4 times, I think. But there's a lot at stake here. Take away the rankings. The winner of this game is going to be at least in control of the regular season championship moving forward, because we only play them once. And so it's a huge opportunity for either team to kind of put themselves in position where everybody else is going to be looking up at you. We've talked about the fact that we don't want anybody else to do our work. We talked about that against LSU. We talked about it against Alabama. We'll talk about it against Kentucky for sure. It's great that on a Saturday in the middle of January, all eyes of the country will be on Auburn, Alabama on CBS on a Saturday afternoon, and it'll be for men's basketball. That's that's something that you might not have said a few years ago.
And no question about that. Coach Bruce Pearl doing a tremendous job with the Auburn program on the Plains, and it was a tremendously exciting environment last night as the Tigers took on the Georgia Bulldogs, and again, Kentucky coming up this weekend at noon on CBS in Auburn Arena. Joining us now on the phone lines, member of the AuburnSports.com team, Brian Stultz. And Brian, welcome into the show once again. It's been an exciting 24 hours in Auburn.
Thrilling 24 hours in Auburn, I would say, with basketball. I didn't think the atmosphere could get any better, but I'm expecting it on Saturday with Kentucky coming to town.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that one a little bit. I was listening to Coach Pearl on the way over here, and that's a big, big game. As we mentioned, two top 12 teams for the first time in Auburn Arena, and the Kentucky Wildcats really on a roll, as the Auburn Tigers are heading into this ball game. So it should be really two of the best teams in college basketball squaring off this weekend.
Yeah, and who can imagine that? Just 5-6 years ago, Kentucky coming in, probably an underdog, Auburn, and all the eyes, like Bruce said, being on Auburn Arena and the Tigers, and probably one of the best teams in college basketball, if not the best team in Auburn. And Kentucky provides a lot of problems for Auburn and matchups that Auburn will have to take care of, but it should be a good game. And yeah, if you're not watching this, you don't love college basketball.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Tigers handle the big guy in the middle this weekend. A little football news, as we were talking, Brian, in the break, breaking today in Auburn, that perhaps Derek Mason may be on the way out as defensive coordinator, heading to a lateral position or a similar position outside of the SEC. What's the latest on that?
Well, from all I've heard is that it's going to be a done deal, that he's leaving. I just don't know where. Rumors were and reports were that it was Oklahoma State, but there has been some interest from some NFL teams. And from all I've heard, that it seems like he's going to be gone after 1 year. Seems to be not happy here with Harsin and things like that. And, it's a very big loss for Auburn, especially at this point, 2 months after the season or whatever. And yeah, it's another bad sign for Harsin and this Auburn tenure, that he's going to lose another assistant to possibly a program that's not at the same level as Auburn. But, it's just another bad sign for him and his tenure here.
Yeah, that's a hard one to swallow, with Eason leaving to Clemson earlier in the season, and then Mason now looks like maybe on the way out as well. Keep us up to date, Brian, and of course we can look for your stuff at AuburnSports.com. What's the latest you got there?
I got a column coming out on possibly the biggest game in Auburn Arena, like Bruce said. I'm going to kind of surprise people, but I think it is the biggest game, but I think every game now in Auburn fans' mind is the biggest game. Like Georgia was last night, Kentucky's going to be even bigger. Alabama is going to be even bigger. And as soon as Auburn, gets close to the SEC championship, it's going to become huge or bigger and bigger and bigger. And, that's something that Bruce has built on the Plains, and it's amazing to see.
Yeah, tremendous game last night. Tremendous crowd, tremendous jungle. I can't imagine it getting any bigger than it was last night with the Georgia Bulldogs, but I guess it will Saturday with the Kentucky Wildcats. Brian, thanks again, and we will chat again very soon on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Doug. Bye.
All right, Brian Stultz of AuburnSports.com, and, of course, you can check out his articles, as we mentioned. AuburnSports.com is the website. When we come back, we're going to talk a little college basketball. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to visit with former Auburn coach Sonny Smith as the Tigers get ready for the Kentucky Wildcats on Saturday at Auburn Arena. Stay with us. We'll take your phone calls and more when we come back right here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to the Voodoo Wing Company on Old Shell Road and Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back into the show here at the Voodoo Wing Company on Old Shell Road. We are talking Auburn sports tonight, and we invite you to come out and join us here at the Voodoo Wing Company. Lots of ball games on here, some great wings as I'm looking at the menu, and some great beer on tap as well. So come on out and join us at the Voodoo Wing Company. Don't forget, if you don't want to come inside, there are drive-through locations also in the location in Auburn, also for the Voodoo Wing Company on College Street. If you're heading to the ball game this weekend, the Kentucky game, if you're lucky enough to get a ticket for that ball game, you can drop by for lunch before the game, or perhaps a little late lunch after the game, as Auburn and Kentucky meet this weekend on the Plains. We're going to talk some basketball tonight. Coach Sonny Smith is going to join us in just a minute or two. And also, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to talk with Jason Campbell, a little football at the bottom of the hour, as spring practice is not too far away. And as we talked with Brian Stultz a second ago, it looks like some big coaching news coming out of Auburn in the next day or so, perhaps over the weekend. And it'll be interesting to see how Coach Harsin handles those additions to the staff that he will have to make in the next couple of days. And also we'll talk some more basketball in the last part of the show tonight, as we are joined by Olympic gold medalist and Auburn graduate Ruthie Bolton. It should be fun to talk to Ruthie. It's a big weekend for the women's basketball team on the Plains, as well as they entertain Alabama on Sunday. Joining us now on the phone lines, I think, is Coach Sonny Smith from the Plains. Coach, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
How's it going up there in Auburn?
Well, everybody's excited, as you know. Anytime Kentucky's coming to town, anytime soon, everybody gets excited and tickets become very scarce.
That was quite an environment last night. One of the first times I've had a chance to enjoy that this year, Coach, and now you get to enjoy it almost every home game, but that's quite a scene with the jungle, isn't it?
It's amazing to me how much of a place this has turned into a home court advantage. It's a perfect court for that. The crowd is so close to the court, and students are right at center court, and that really opens up for a very difficult situation for the visiting team. And I'm hoping it's going to work that way against Kentucky. They're used to those type of situations a little more than most teams are.
Yeah, they've got a similar situation at Rupp Arena up there. A few more people up there. It's not quite as intimate as Auburn Arena, but a similar situation. I listened to Coach Pearl a little bit a couple times today talk about the Wildcats. Of course, they're playing very well. They've got guys that can shoot it, and the big guy in the middle. What's your impression of them so far?
My impression from having seen them on television and looking at the stats, they're a little bit better than Auburn in most of the stat categories. And they're close to being the same, or maybe maybe slightly under in height and weight and size. So I looked this game a little bit like a toss-up. Kentucky's awfully good. They're a very good rebounding team, so when they're not shooting, they get a chance to get it back. That looks awfully good to me on their side of the ball.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to ask you about, Coach, visiting with Coach Sonny Smith, former Auburn Tigers coach. And, Coach, while I'm thinking about it, I noticed you got a little action there on the pregame video up on the scoreboard last night. They've got a little Sonny Smith in there now.
I heard about it. I heard about it more than I did the game. I don't know what's going on. What I did do is get a little bit of publicity for my hometown up in Roan Mountain, Tennessee, even though they got it in the wrong county, I think, on television. I'm yet to see it, but I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah, it's pretty neat to see you and Sir Charles and all the others up there in the pregame. That was quite a show. But I was going to mention Coach Pearl during last night's game and some of the last couple of games that I've watched. I noticed that he is really probably coaching, it seems, harder almost than he did before, if that's imaginable. But he really gets on these guys when they do something that he wants to see them do differently. But the thing that I notice, Coach, is when he does that, the players don't seem to have an attitude or something. They really respect what Coach Pearl has put together and the team that they have this year. And it just seems different from other teams in college basketball to me.
I think the one thing, he's a player's coach. You watch him in practice, and let's say he gets down on somebody not doing his job. He doesn't jump in that guy's face and dog cuss him and get after him as kind of the old school approach. He will turn his back, walk away from him, and let the guy know what he wants him to know with his back turned. Now, that sounds a little crazy, but you think about it, you get your point across a lot more than you do getting him inflamed or beaten up, whatever you want to look at. But he has a unique, I don't know. He has a different way of coaching, and it's very, very effective. The old school approach is a little bit different than the way he does it. His way is very, very effective.
I know we talked a little bit earlier, Coach, about some of the play last night in the Georgia game, and the couple things stuck out to me, but one of the things that really stuck out is, as you and I talked about earlier, was Wendell Green. He's had a tremendous season so far, but his passing the basketball, distributing the basketball, and running that offense almost to, I don't want to say perfection, but pretty darn good last night. That was really a spectacle to see.
You know, every game I watch him play, he does something different I've never seen him do before, and he does it well. I think his approach to the game is he's ready, and he gets ready for all situations. He's not rah-rah top guy as much as he is, I'm going to show you how this is supposed to be done effort-wise. And also, I think he plays at a pace where taking care of the basketball is important. And he does that pretty well to play at the pace that he does. And I think that helps. I think that taking care of the basketball, getting you more shot opportunities, I think is a real good thing. I think they're lucky to have a guy like him. He's so effective in what he does. And you can't foul him. He goes to free throw line, knocks him down. And there's so many things that he does that makes him a winner, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think over 85% at the free throw this season for Wendell. And the other thing we talked about earlier was Wendell, Zepp, KD, and all of the guys really very active hands last night on defense. They slapped the ball away. They took the ball away from Georgia a lot last night, and that was a big key to the ball game. It was hard for Georgia's offense to get in a sink last night.
You know, active hands wins games. And a lot of times, active hands that haven't been coached properly cause fouls. Auburn does not foul a lot, even though they have very active hands. And I'm going to tell you, they really knock balls loose, and they get after loose balls. as good as any team that I've watched this year. And that turnover battle, they're going to be in that or usually win it more so than their visiting or their opposing team.
That's right. And another big matchup this weekend, Walker Kessler against the big guy from Kentucky who's having an outstanding season. A lot of people say maybe the best player in the country. One thing I notice about Walker that's interesting, Coach, when he shoots that three-pointer, he shoots right-handed. When he blocks shots, he blocks left-handed. And when he dunks with one hand, he dunks left-handed. That's an odd combination.
That is an odd combination. He is starting to show situations where it shows that he's getting better every game. And I think all of that comes with all the players have got serious confidence in him. They really believe in him. And used to, I think he passed up shots that he could take around a basket. And now he's attempting those shots. And the one thing about it, if you watch him in practice, he knocks down three at a higher rate than most of the players on the team. And I notice he's starting to take threes now. And if he becomes a three-point threat along with that seven-foot frame and that shot-blocking ability, he's going to be a guy that the pros are going to be looking at for it's all over.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That'll be big in the NBA. And Coach Pearl, listening on the way out here again tonight, said that, you know, he may try to bring Walker out a little bit more Saturday against Kentucky to bring their big guy out and make him guard on the perimeter a little bit.
I don't know how Kentucky is going to defend, but I will tell you this. They better get that big guy away from the basket. He's the strongest guy in the league. He's had 28 rebounds. I think you and I talked about that a little bit. 28 rebounds in a game this year. His physical size and weight makes him a big presence for them. And you know, John likes to play physical basketball and generally wants to play up tempo. And they say this guy, even if with that weight and size, it loves that up tempo thing too. So that means he and Walker are going to beat up on one another, and both of them run the floor real well. That's going to be a battle to watch, I think.
Absolutely. Coach, enjoy the ball game this weekend. Always appreciate you being with us here on Tiger Talk Overtime, and hopefully a big Auburn win, and we'll talk again very soon.
Thanks for having me on, Coach.
All right, Coach Sonny Smith, former coach of the Auburn Tigers, with us. When we come back, we'll switch gears and talk some football with former Auburn quarterback Jason Campbell. Stay with us right here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to the Voodoo Wing Company on Old Sale Road and Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back to the show, everybody, here at the Voodoo Wink Company. And don't forget to come by Saturday if you're out and about before the game. Come by the Voodoo Wink Company and pick up all your tailgating needs for the basketball game at 12 noon on CBS. The Tigers and the Wildcats going at it. You can get your wings and drinks and sides all right here at the Voodoo Wink Company and enjoy the ball game on Saturday, the Auburn Tigers and Kentucky Wildcats. Time to talk some football right now, as spring football is not too far away on the plains. And a bit earlier in the day, I had a chance to visit with former Auburn quarterback Jason Campbell about some of the new quarterbacks that are coming in to Auburn this season and various other topics. Here's how it went. All right, Jason, thanks for joining us tonight. Big basketball game last night. I know you were watching that since you're in Georgia, right?
Yeah, I was watching it. What a great game. I suppose I actually been going to the game with Ronnie, but the fact that I had just got back in town the day before, it was hard for me to hop back on the road and drive with him all the way down there for a 9 o'clock p.m. game. But no, what an electric atmosphere. Like, what a game. This team is 10 deep. The second unit is just as good as the first unit. And I think they may be the deepest basketball team in college basketball. So I think that propels them well for tournament.
Absolutely. And I know there's a lot of disappointed Georgia fans over there where you are probably, but it seemed like they were doing a little of the flop last night. What'd you think? Trying to get maybe one or two of our guys out of the game?
Yeah, they tried to get Jabari out of the game early. He came up there, you know, both of the guys trying to post up position. And, you know, Jabari is not a huge, he's tall, but he's not a big bulky guy. And I think people think they can try to pick on him because he's a freshman, but he's well beyond his years. Like the way this kid plays the game is very unselfish to be a top five lottery pick for next season, for this season. But, you know, a lot of guys, you know, they try to showcase themselves. He's all about the team. He's all about winning. And I think that will help this basketball team be as good as they can be because of him and Kessler. Like Kessler's a shot blocker, you know, from another space. You know, guy 7'1", but he's 7'1" and athletic. You know, you saw the steal last night. He go down, he two-hand dunk it. When you got guys on the inside that can play outside as well, you pull those bigs away from the basket, and that gives your guards the opportunity to go one-on-one and get some layups. So I think Bruce Pearl really has something special brewing.
Yeah, they're all very unselfish. Let's talk some football a little bit. Spring practice is not too far away, and wanted to ask you about the quarterbacks. We have some new guys in the lineup and the roster now. Zach Calzada from A&M and Robbie Ashford, who we were talking about from Oregon. Both of those guys are new, and Robbie is from Hoover, Alabama originally. And then we've got TJ and Demetrius and Holden Garner coming in as a true freshman next year. So how do you stack these guys up right now?
I tell you what, we went from not recruiting quarterbacks just because we had Bo on the roster to I always tell people, like, we should still sign quarterbacks. You know, you're always one play away, or you always want to make sure the starter is preparing himself, you know, as hard as he needs to help the team. And the fact that now we're sitting here with five quarterbacks on scholarship. And let's be honest, all five cannot touch the ball in the springtime. It's hard for every kid to get a rep and get some type of rhythm, and for guys on the outside to build any chemistry. So I'm pretty sure this is, you know, I kind of broke it down yesterday on our podcast. I kind of said, this is stages, I believe. I believe you bring in Calzada, and then you also have TJ Finley there. He's probably not leaving because if he transfer again, he would have to go down a level. Mm-hmm. So that's probably not going to happen. So then you have TJ and Calzada kind of brewing it out for the starting position this year. But then you have Garner, and then you have the kid, Robbie, that's coming in from Oregon, who was a Hoover guy, like you said, and he was a four-star guy, and he's 6'4", 225. So he's a big guy. And then there's still the big question mark. Demetrius Davis has been there, and he was a four-star coming out of Houston. What are we going to do with him? He's the interesting question. The reason I say this because we didn't play him in the bowl game, and we could have, and he still could have had a redshirt year. And the fact you had nothing to lose, and you still didn't get him any reps. So it makes me wonder if maybe they're considering a position transition, because he reminds me of Antoine Randle that played at Indiana. So could he switch positions and play slot receiver? Could he be a punt returner? Could you find some way to utilize his athletic ability to get on the field other than just playing quarterback when your room is so stacked? So that's probably going to come into play. If he doesn't win the job or compete for the job, then I can see him making a position transition just for himself. And my whole thing is I think Garner and Robbie probably battles it out for the next couple of years. And whichever one of those guys win the job is their job. But it's always a competition there. But I do think for this year, heading into the spring, it's going to be a little bit about TJ and a little bit about Calzada and Garner, because Garner's already on campus.
Mm-hmm. So you think you would include Garner in the mix of guys that include the job for next year?
Yeah, I would include him in the spring just because now high school football is so different now. Like, they're running the same systems in college they're doing in high school, all the RPOs and everything. So if he comes in and he showcases himself and, you know, he puts himself out there, then my whole thing is best man wins, no matter if you're a freshman, junior, or senior. And so, but I just feel like from TJ's experience and from Calzada's experience going into a year where it's a big year for Harsin, where he pretty much has to win. You know, last year was kind of like, okay, everyone said, no, it's not his roster. And, you know, we'll see what he do and what he's trying to implement. But this year, people are having different expectations. This year, you know, you can't lose five games straight. And, you know, it's going to be, you're still fighting the uphill battle against Alabama and Georgia. LSU is going to be better. Tennessee is going to be better. Florida is going to be better. Everybody's getting better. So where does that leave Auburn? So we have to be getting better. Defensively, I'm not worried about it. We picked up so many guys in the portal that has experience. You know, we just got to get Eugene Asante, I think, from North Carolina, who's a big-time linebacker. Mm-hmm. And you lose McClain and Wooten, but you replace a guy that has experience that's played at the college level. That was a huge get with him and Owen Papo coming back. Then you have the D-tackles. You have the, you know, guys we picked up in JUCO, the safeties, and the other D-tackle as well. So defensively, I feel like we're stacked. Offensively, where do we go? Yes, we get Bronze back. We got Trossel back. That's huge. But we still don't figure out our receiver position. So who are these guys going to be throwing to?
Yeah, all young guys. What do you make of the offensive line with three guys now announcing that they're coming back for next year? Is that a good sign for Auburn, or are they unable to get guys coming in the transfer portal for next year?
Well, it's a good sign for Auburn. The only thing about the transfer portal, you got a couple kids that they really wanted. You know, I think they was going to have the kid from Louisiana Monroe, but as I said, he's an All-American, so how many teams are really going after him? And, you know, I'm pretty sure now that NIL and different things are going on, you know, he's probably playing to the highest bidder. You just never know. It's just that's the way of college football now. It's NFL free agency in college. So you have to figure out, like, those guys that was considered leaving, where are you going to go? Let's be honest. Like, if you don't see yourself drafted in the first three rounds, you're risking yourself anyways when you can come back for another season and have a chance to play in the system for another year and be used to your head coach for another year. And then you may have a really good season this year to position yourself, your draft stock, better next year. And you're not coming back empty handed. You know, these kids have NIL deals now, so they're getting a little something in their pockets, you know, as well, while they're being on a college campus rather than, all right, I'm vying for the NFL job. Oh, if I don't get it, now I'm in the real world. You know, you basically give yourself another year, an opportunity to showcase what you can do.
Right. Tell me your impression of Calzada. Maybe he's the front runner for next season. He's got experience at A&M. Everybody talks about the win over Alabama was his the big mark on his resume. What kind of quarterback do you see, and what do you think for next year?
That's the huge question mark for me, Dave. It's the thing about this Calzada. Yeah, it's good to get him because there's always experience is hard to teach. But let's be honest, when he's at Texas A&M, he had more talent on offense than Auburn did. You know, you got the big tight end. You have huge receivers. And, you know, you have a guy that's supposed to be an offensive-minded guy in Jimbo Fisher. And so it wasn't like he was lighting it up with all of those guys. Now you're going to come to Auburn. We don't have that same receiving core. Shanker is a good tight end, but he's not that top first-round tight end they have this year. You know, so my whole thing is, yes, he has experience, but the question mark is still out there. Like, you know, there's still a lot for me to see. Yes, he beat Alabama, but I call that more of a team victory than just he beat Alabama. Now, the one thing I say he did well in the Alabama game is he showed a lot of toughness. He got hurt, banged up. He came back in the game. You know, that shows a lot of leadership, a lot of toughness. That's a good thing about him. But, you know, the question mark is still going to be there with him and TJ battling it out, because I just don't see that big of a separation. The thing is about Calzada, he's probably more athletic than TJ from a running standpoint, but from a throwing standpoint, both of them pretty much equal to me.
Okay. So you think TJ is taking all this in stride then? I guess you have to.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you have to. Like I've told him before, I say, dude, if you're going to be a quarterback in the SEC, I was just like, you always have to expect competition. Yeah. And you can never get complacent. I say you're always building yourself each and every year. And I say you have to be able to accept criticism. You know, that's the one thing about a lot of these kids, the reason they transfer. If they get criticized one thing or two, they're ready to leave. But in TJ's case, he can't transfer. Like I said, unless he wants to go to, like, you know, a D1AA or HBCU or, you know, something like that. But he cannot transfer to another Division I program and not have to sit out a year. So this right here for him is all or nothing type spring for him. So he really has to put his best foot forward come springtime. I thought the bowl game was a great opportunity for him And we understand he was still playing with an ankle injury, but if they could have found a way to beat a good Houston team and he'd drive them down the field, that would have gave him a lot more confidence, I believe, with the coaching staff and with his teammates heading into the spring. But the fact that we ended up losing that game and we weren't able to move the ball when we had to move the ball, I think opens up the competition now to everybody.
Yeah. And speaking of the coaching staff, Austin Davis, the new OC, I guess, is on campus now with Seattle ending their season in the National Football League. What do you hear there? What do you see changes in the offense this spring? What will he try to implement for Auburn in 2022?
I know Austin. I've been knowing Austin ever since he was at Southern Miss. I'm from Mississippi, so I got a chance to be in contact with him. I was down there before, and, you know, as soon as he got the job, I sent him a test, and then he ended up testing me back. And I think more for him, his job is pretty much – it's still Harsin's system, and Harsin's still calling the plays. I think Austin is more of a quarterback developer and also brings some nuances that he's seen with Russell Wilson and some of the things that Seattle did to the Auburn program. But as far as play calling goes, it's still going to be Harsin's deal. I just think from a standpoint about Austin, he's a young guy and he can relate to a lot of these young quarterbacks now. And the fact that he coached with Russell Wilson, you know, brings a lot of to the table as far as like these kids going really, he's probably gonna get these kids ears quicker because they say, oh man, you coached a guy that's probably gonna be a Hall of Famer.
And the thoughts of Jason Campbell earlier today as we get ready for spring football, not too far in the distant future at Auburn. Of course, the Senior Bowl coming up in a couple of weeks here in Mobile. We'll be visiting with some players from Auburn at that point as well. When we come back, we're going to talk some more college basketball as we visit with Auburn legend Ruthie Bolton. She will join us on the way back. Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Glad you're with us from the Voodoo Wing Company on Old Shell Road. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to the Voodoo Wing Company on Old Shell Road and Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back to the show at the Voodoo Wing Company on a Thursday night, Tiger Talk Overtime. Want to get right back to some college basketball in our final segment tonight. Our next guest, a two-time Olympic gold medalist and WNBA star. She scored over 2,000 career points, was the only player in the history of the Sacramento Monarchs to have her number retired. Also a two-time WNBA All-Star in 1999 and 2001, the 91 USA Basketball Female Athlete of the Year. And in four seasons at Auburn, she led her team to a combined record of 199-13, which included three SEC championships, four NCAA tournament appearances, and two runner-up finishes in 1988 and 89. And she was named to the 1988 NCAA Women's Final Four All-Tournament team. Want to welcome to our microphones the Auburn legend, Ruthie Bolton. Ruthie, great to have you with us from Mississippi, I think, tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Phil. Thank you for having me.
How's everything going?
Things are going great, you know. Like I said, I'm too inspired to be tired, so I'm it's been great. You know, I've been I'm here in Mississippi at the moment with my children, and hey, it's always good to sort of get back home. I've lived in California for 25 years, and I've been back home for the last couple of years, and it's been nice sort of letting them see where I grew up.
Absolutely, that sounds great. I caught your story on ESPN a couple of weeks ago. And I just sat there watching it. It's a mesmerizing story and really intriguing to watch that. I'm sure you've caught that a couple of times, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. You know, a lot of people call me and say, you on TV. But I'm thankful that ESPN was able to do that. It's been 4 years now, and I've traveled the world internationally to speak, about the documentary, obviously bringing awareness to domestic violence. But it just always feels good. You know, I know my time is playing is over, but it feels good to be impactful off the basketball court also.
Yeah, I was going to ask you all the accomplishments that you have that we read. What is left for Ruthie Bolton to accomplish? What are you up to now?
Well, what I'm doing now, I'm a huge community advocate, youth advocate, and women empowerment. So I really want to. I've written a couple books, The Ride of a Lifetime, and also Pain to Power. I want to write another book. I can because I am. And I am also pushing my new endeavor, I would say, is be bold, be mighty, be the best version of you. So I have a clothesline that I'm pushing. But really, it's not just about wearing a shirt or wearing a sweat, wearing a T-shirt. It's about really a movement. It's a mindset. And so really just trying to create a space so that everyone can be bold, be mighty, and be the best version of them. So that's pretty much, I would say, a book, and also just pushing. I love speaking. I love traveling to speak. And, hey, you know what? If a coaching opportunity came up, I wouldn't, depending on the circumstance, that would be great, too, because that's another space to empower. So those are the things. And also, I've been working, I'm possibly going to be working with a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It's sort of one of those things I feel like is in my wheelhouse, working with athletes and also faith-based, talking about my faith. So those, that's been a really empowering for me too. So yeah, so I got a few things happening.
Yeah, I know you mentioned coaching. I know your friend Dawn Staley at South Carolina is coaching the USA team, and you were in the Olympics together, right? And I know weren't you working a little bit with the Nigeria team for a while?
Yeah, I was. You know what? We spent about 6 months prior training, and I know it's sort of a weird. They said, "Oh, you played for USA?" Yeah, I said, "Yeah." To be exact, I played for 11 different national teams, and I said, "But to me, my purpose and what I do is a little bit different than the ordinary. I really work with these ladies. I didn't see color. I saw an opportunity to empower some amazing ladies, and spending time with them." My purpose is not just red, white, and blue. I love empower. I've traveled overseas for the last 10, 11, 12 years, going to different countries and really empowering women and youth. So it was fitting for me to be a part of that team. And it was great. I'm always a USA at heart. I'm always red, white, and blue at heart. But my purpose sort of extends and it goes. My purpose is bigger than me.
Right. A big weekend for the Auburn women's team Sunday at Auburn Arena as they take on Alabama. It's alumni weekend, and they're going to honor Joe Champy with a banner in the arena up there. I know it's going to be a special time for the players and coaches to get together.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be awesome. I think it's long overdue. He's really done a lot for Auburn program, and I think it's going to be phenomenal to – And to be a part of that, and I know it's been some years, but to see a lot of my former teammates and just reminisce about the game and also the things off the court. And really, it's going to be special, too, but that's where my career started. That's where, to be able to, Auburn was a huge platform for me, and especially how my journey to get there. But I'm thankful for the opportunity and now to be able to see, to celebrate Coach Champy and the staff on what they've done, I think is a perfect timing.
I know Coach Harris, they're going through some growing pains right now. They haven't got an SEC win yet, but that's in the future. That's coming. What do you think of the new program, the new coaching staff, the new direction at Auburn?
I'm very optimistic. I've been blessed. I've been there a couple of times, maybe two or three times, and I like the atmosphere. I like the energy. It definitely growing pains. They sort of digging themselves out of a hole that they got in unwilling. They've had to really build. And I think they're going to build. I got confidence in her. I got confidence in the staff. The players are great. I know she's supposed to be getting some, new players in, but I think it's good. I feel great momentum. I think the fans are ready, the alumni, and so, and plus we're behind them. you know, we've communicated several times, saying, hey, you know, we're in this together. We want to see Auburn back doing what they used to do when we were there. So we're in it. Anything you need, let us know, and we'll be there. So it's going to take a team effort, and we're ready for the game plan.
Sounds good. I hope you guys, girls and guys, have a great weekend at Alumni Weekend this Sunday, and hopefully a big win over the Crimson Tide. Always good to visit Ruthie, and always remember that, as I mentioned to you earlier in the week, that Ruthie Bolton Day back in Mississippi in the 1990s. Yes. That was fun.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I know it's crazy it's been that long, but we were just talking about that we got to get back to doing something. And I want to make an effort that when we do something on Ruthie Bolton Day, that it won't be just about me. It'll be about giving back. It'll be, I want to, you know, be able to give our scholarships to some of the students at the local high schools, and really just about really paying it forward and just reminding the youth that, you know, that that this is just amazing time to thrive and rise above. And, yeah, so I'm excited about that. I'm really excited about the opportunity to really give back and really let the next generation know that they can still rise above in spite of all the chaos that's happened in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Well, thanks for visiting with us. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk again very soon. It's always good to visit.
It's always good to be on here. I want to leave you with this, everybody that's listening. To the world, you might be one person, but to one person, you just might be the world. Stay inspired.
Thanks, Ruthie. Appreciate all you do for Auburn and all you do for all the communities and countries that you visit.
Thank you. War Eagle!
War Eagle. Ruthie Bolton, the legendary Ruthie Bolton, former Auburn basketball great, Olympic gold medalist, as we mentioned before. We appreciate her joining us. And Coach Sonny Smith, Jason Campbell, all of our guests tonight on Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you are with us here at the Voodoo Wing Company, and hope you'll come out again for the ball game Saturday. Get all your tailgating needs, your wings and sides and drinks and everything you need for the big ball game Saturday at noon on CBS. It's Auburn and Kentucky. Should be one of the biggest basketball games in the history of Auburn basketball, and certainly in the history of Auburn Arena. We'll see if the Tigers can pull it out.